Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we are still celebrating summer and will continue for a while, although the kids are back in school, and it's one of these shows we're going to talk about just that, I thought we'd read a little essay written by the very talented Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune entitled, Take a Summer Hour Now, Before It's Too Late. Mary writes, have you taken your summer hour today? Summer seems to vanish faster than water in your hand. It's true of any summer, especially up here in the northern 42nd latitude, but it's especially true of this summer. We've never needed a daily summer hour more. The summer hour is what I call the 1 hour every day I dedicate to something that makes this season feel like the one the calendar claims it is. I started my summer hour regimen about a month ago. One Monday, realizing that it was and the weather had kept me from doing almost anything that qualified as summery, I walked down to the new modern wing of the Art Institute, ambled past the Bean and the Frank Gehry band shell, crossed the silvery pedestrian bridge that connects the park to the museum, then spent 45 minutes with some paintings. I couldn't say now what most of the paintings were, just that it felt summery to be surrounded by clean lines, high ceilings, white walls, and all those distant worlds distilled on canvas. It was so restful that every Monday since, I've gone again, each time with a little variation. One Monday I didn't bother with the art, just hung out in Millennium Park. People of every age and shape and shade were there, splashing in the fountain, lolling in the grass, reading, talking, eating the park's overpriced potato chips. Another Monday, I stopped in the park to listen to the Gallery 37 High School Jazz Band, mostly African-American and Latino high school students playing tunes my mother's generation knew by heart. Then I strolled through the Lurie Garden and paused in the thickets of lupine and sunflowers to spy on the painters with their watercolor brushes and broad-brimmed hats, trying to transfer summer to paper. A lot of us try to cram summer into weekends or a vacation week, ignoring the possibilities of the ordinary days. On the average, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we tell ourselves we don't have time for summer, but summer somehow pays you back. It's a time spent that seems to make time in the rest of the day. A summer hour can involve something as simple as a bike ride, a walk, dinner on the patio. Sun helps, but it's not necessary. The only requirement of a summer hour is that it not be work and that some of it occur outdoors. A phrase keeps coming up to my mind. A friend said a couple of days ago, the fullness of summer. This is the fullness of summer. But not for long. The big sign outside the high school near my house is already announcing August back to school. When I drive by, I avert my eyes the way I do at gory movies. Too soon, too soon. This week, I spent my Monday summer hour with a friend at Terzo Piano, the sleek and airy restaurant in the modern wing. It was an idyllic moment, but if you can't stand to pay $16 for a salad, I gulped. You can stand for free on the restaurant terrace and revel in the view of the park, the lake, the skyline, and the sky. Chicago at its summer best. If you do go, be careful in the gift shop. They're selling calendars for 2013. Look away. Take your summer hours now. Isn't it the truth? Take a summer hour now before it's too late. Editorial essay by Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune. Always has very poignant things to say. Always nice to read Mary Schmeek's columns. Coming up this weekend, the Glenwood Avenue Arts Fest is a free weekend-long event drawing approximately 10,000 visitors per day, celebrating its 11th anniversary. Three outdoor stages featuring over 40 acts experience art, theater, music, as well as food and drink on the brick-laid streets of the Glenwood Avenue Arts District. Four Rogers Park Theater's Flex Pass, the Lifeline Theater, the Raven Theater, the Side Project, and Theo Ubique Cabaret Theater join together for the production throughout the season, running from September 1st to August 31st. You get a four-show pass. Same thing with the Lifeline Theater. The Glenwood Avenue Arts Fest is made possible by the generous and enthusiastic support of the local business community. Neighborhood commercial sponsors provide the support to the fest that remains free to visitors. There's no fest admission charge, no suggested donation, nor gated point of entry, and all the outdoor performances and purchase arts and crafts, foods, and beverages from the vendor stands. The Glenwood Avenue Arts District features artist studios, music venues like the Heartland Cafe, the Main Stage, Morseland and Redline Tap, and numerous unique and tasty restaurants, and some great theater, including, as I said, Lifeline Theater, The Side Project, The Raven Theater, and Theo Ubique, which make up one of the city's hottest theater corridors and are regularly recognized by the Jeff Awards Arts District. In Rogers Park is our favorite new destination by Chicago Magazine. So great time. Jill Evans from Shout Chicago PR sent that over to us. The Glenview Avenue Arts Fest, Saturday and Sunday, August 18th and 19th in Chicago's Rogers Park. For information, 773-761-4477, extension 701, or go onto their website, glenwoodavenue.org. A lot of fun things. There's a little essay also here about savoring the last full month of summer. Maybe we'll get to that, but we have a very busy show today of our good pal, Herbie Hunter, the voice of the Air and Water Show, the 25th year, his, what would you call it, golden anniversary or silver anniversary for 25 years? And it's the 54th annual Chicago Air and Water Show this Saturday and Sunday, August 18th and 19th. Always fun to chat with Herbie, who is a pilot for United Airlines, and the show wouldn't be the same without him. We've known him for many years. It's become a tradition having him on. Jimmy Harms, who portrays Don Quixote, the iconic role of Don Quixote in The Man of La Mancha, the light opera works in the Kahn Auditorium, Evanston, through August 26th. And Carl Giammarisi, one of the great talents from the Buckinghams. Remember the great groups of the 60s, the Buckinghams, the Crane Shames, the Ides of March, the New Colony Six. What a great group of people. And we're going to be talking with Carol Giammarisi from the Buckinghams about the Happy Together Tour, which is going to be at the Paramount Theater August 24th. Next week, hopefully, we'll be chatting with either Mickey Dolenz or guys from the Turtles. So it'll be fun. I always enjoy watching those PBS specials where we revisit the great music of the past, whether it's the British Invasion or whatever. Of course, I want to congratulate our good pal, Doug Bruno, who gave me a call here before we went over to the studio. Congratulate him on winning the gold medal for the women's basketball in the Olympics. They never lose. They keep on winning, but what a great Olympics. A little diversion in the sports scene. Watching the Cubs and Sox, of course, watching the Cubs lose, and the Sox are doing very well. But it was fun to watch the Olympics, a little different, all the great performances and all the great young people who did so very, very well. Well, of course, having Carl on, we have to showcase his CD, which is entitled Mercy, 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 a collection of all his greatest hits. His first song, which is one of my favorites, Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song, and we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
Along with the lovely melody.
Hey baby, they're playing our song, the one we used to hear when we used to get along. Hey baby, they're playing our song, let's get back together, that's where we belong. It's the one with the pretty melody. It's the one that made you fall in love with me.
It made us feel so groovy. We fell in love, just like in the movies. Hey, baby, the planet I saw, the one they used to play when we used to get along. Hey, baby, the planet I saw, let's get back together, that's where we belong. Pleasant memories are coming back to me. Can't you remember the way it used to be? It made us feel like dancing. It gave us time to think about romancing. Hey, baby. The pretty melody. It's the one that made you fall in love with me. It made us feel so groovy. We fell in love, just like in the movies. Hey, baby, hey, baby. The plan I saw.
Hey, baby, they're playing our song. The Buckinghams were back on the Kevin Moore Show. Time for high-speed action on the lakefront, the 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, August 18th and 19th. The 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, presented by Shell Oil Products U.S. and the City of Chicago, returns to the lakefront with the headliners the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, U.S. Army Parachute Team Golden Knights, and the U.S. Navy Leapfrogs. The show will run August 18th and 19th along the lakefront from Fullerton to Oak Street, with North Avenue Beach as the focal point from 10 to 3 daily. The U.S. Navy Blue Angels have been astounding audiences since 1946 with their gravity-defying flying, commanding presence, and supersonic maneuvers in their F-A-18 Hornets. The brave men and women of the U.S. Army Parachute Team Golden Knights and the U.S. Navy Leapfrogs will inspire spectators as they jump out of an aircraft 12,500 feet above the Earth's surface, raising to North Avenue Beach at speeds exceeding 120 miles per hour, making a perfect landing. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning jet pilot, a United Airlines senior captain, honorary Chicagoan, one of the most beloved men in air travel, and now celebrating his 25th year as the voice of the 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show on Saturday, August 18th and Sunday, August 19th on Chicago's beautiful Lake Michigan in and around North Avenue Beach, our good pal Herbie Hunter. Herb, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
I tell you, Kevin, I listen to you and I want to meet this guy. This is going to be a good guy. It's me.
Well, I'm going to meet him next week for lunch, so that's a good thing.
That sounds good.
Good to have you, my pal. You're back.
Yeah, wouldn't be air show time if I wasn't on your show.
Isn't that the truth? It's become a tradition, and it's always fun to have you on. And this year's bigger and better than ever, Herb.
Oh, it is. This could be the most fabulous show ever. Every year somebody says that somewhere, but this really, the lineup is awesome. We've got some new people. We've got some exciting differences, slight variations, and for me, and probably only for me, the fact that 25 years seems so special in my mind.
And congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I know there have been, I look at my boss, Rudy Malnati. He's been around this since, he was a little kid. So he's got, over 40 years in air show business. But to me, there just aren't very many announcers that do it this long. And I'm proud of that. I'm really, really excited about being here this year.
Wouldn't be a show without you. Isn't it the truth? Of course, Rudy and I go back so many years. When I was a lifeguard on the lake, so to say this all the time, when I was a lifeguard on the lakefront. And, of course, 25 years is a long time. And people come back because they enjoy what you do and how well you present the Chicago Air and Water Show.
I hope that I enhance it somehow. My real job is to be, jet noise in the background for these guys. But some of them have really become my friends, and I really enjoy working with a lot of these guys, the Aeroshell team and the Lima Lima guys. And one, and I'm probably jumping ahead of questions, but, you know, one of the differences, and you said in your intro there were some differences, one of the differences this year is a team that, if you looked at the layout, they're not even mentioned as a team, and I'm talking about the Firebirds with Bill Stein and with Matt Chapman. They have worked out this four-ship routine, and they've done it. They actually did a smaller version of it last year, but they have really gotten good, Kevin. These guys might be as good an act as we have in the show, and they're not even an official act.
Better than Sean Tucker?
Well, they're four-ship. You know,
okay.
Sean, you know, it's awful hard to compare Sean with anybody. He's an icon.
Right.
And his personality, you know, I was watching him out at the airport at Gary today at the media day, and watching him work with the media people, he's just so much more than a super fantastic pilot. He is really an icon in the air show business. But these guys, a four-ship with working these four airplanes with four outstanding performers, I've really enjoyed watching them. I've seen them at three different shows this summer, and we've started calling them the no-name four-ship. So they're going to be performing for us, and I'm looking forward to just the whole thing.
Well, of course, you were in Milwaukee last week. You had
right.
said that the Milwaukee Air Show. How does that compare to Chicago?
Well, it's a great site. The city, the big buildings aren't quite as close to the site.
Right.
And, it, you know, they have differences in their traffic flow. It's going to grow, and it's going to be a great show. The thing is, Chicago is such a big show in my heart. And I go back. People will ask me repeatedly why it's special, and you know why it's special. Al Benedict started this show for the kids,
sure,
the Park
right.
District kids.
Family Day celebration.
Family Day celebration. And it has grown from that, from something that was just pure and innocent and good for the young folks here in the city of Chicago, and it's just turned into this monster, largest event of its kind in the world. And I just don't think that anything could ever quite take Chicago's place in my heart as far as working a show. It's just different, it's special, and it always will be.
Of course, Al was the supervisor of the Lakeshore Park right on Lakeshore and Chicago Avenue, God bless him, and
yeah.
His first original budget was $88, and now, of course, it's $25 million, so that's
great. And you know, the show, you know, it outgrew its site there across from Lakeshore
right.
Park,
right.
which was such a warm, friendly site, but that just as the crowds grew, And as sponsorship came in, and then, of course, when the mayor's office took over with their sponsorship department, the show has just gone nuts size-wise. And we just had to have a bigger site and moved up to North Avenue, and it's just grown from there. And I'm just always excited. It's always my biggest, most exciting week of the year.
2.5 million people show up. I mean, that's why we need more room.
That's
we
right.
might need a couple
right.
beaches. Of course, the U.S. Navy Blue Angels. And we talk about this. They fly, what, a foot apart? The wings are a foot and a half apart?
They actually have overlap, I believe.
Holy good Lord.
18-inch overlap and tightest formation in the business. And they've been with us so many times. And it's I chatted with a couple of guys this morning. It's always a privilege to have these guys. And you go back to a movie like Top Gun where Tom Cruise actually, you know, played a cocky Air
right.
Navy pilot and all that. But these guys are real. And they're polite, and they're humble, and yet they're the best of the best, and it's just an honor to have them here in Chicago.
How fast are they flying?
Well, they don't typically, when you see their high-speed pass, it's going to be somewhere above 650 miles an hour. When they do the banana pass, the photo pass, that's 350 or 400. And, of course, the hardest thing they do is at the high-alpha pass, their slow-speed pass. And you think about it. You get an airplane that's built, constructed to go fast. That's the easy thing for it to do. What they have to do is make sure they don't go too fast, they don't break all the windows.
Which they might be doing the next couple of days because they're practicing downtown.
Right.
You know, it's funny because people will call and say, there's some military aircraft flying over the city of Chicago. What's going on? Well, we have the Air and Water Show this weekend.
You know, I had breakfast at a place yesterday, a real nice place over on the south side, south of the Loop, and it was wonderful, and I said, he said, what's that on your shirt? And I said, the Air and Water Show. And I honestly don't think he'd ever heard of it. And he walked away, and my wife said, do you think he doesn't know what the Air and Water Show is? And I said, well, there's probably somebody here who just doesn't pay attention.
Right.
He just didn't seem familiar, and I tell you, that's really the exception.
The Golden Knights and the Navy Leapfrogs are another part. Tell our listeners about what happens with them.
Well, you know, they're jumping out of the airplane, especially with the Knights. And the Knights, the Leapfrogs, I was with last weekend, too. They're fantastic Navy SEALs, and of course the SEALs have gotten so much publicity in the last couple years with some of their exploits,
sure,
both good and bad around the world, and things that have been tragic for them and things that have been wonderful for us, accomplishments for the military. But the Knights, you go back to 1959 when Al had the first show, when the Park District had the first show. They were here. They weren't called the Golden Knights yet. They were called the United States Army Parachute Team.
Mm-hmm.
They took the name Golden Knights 2 years later. These guys, you know, jump out at 12,500 feet. Within 10 seconds, they're free-falling at 120 miles an hour straight down toward the beach. And, of course, they're showing what they can do with these wonderful airfoils that they use, their flexible wing gliders that have actually replaced the old round, you know, grandma and grandpa's parachutes. And to a man, to a woman, these people are just a pleasure to be around. Again, polite, respectful, and out there on the front lines, and all of them, you know, combat time. These guys have all seen action, and it's exciting to know that they care enough to go out and represent their country in a great team like the Golden Knights or the Leapfrogs.
Great to have them here. And the Lima Lima flight team.
Right. These guys.
It's one of your favorites.
They started here in Chicago in 1988. That's the same year I started. So we've always had this bond between us, and I've gotten the opportunity to announce for them several times, usually two or three times a summer, and they're great. They fly the T-34. They were the first civilian six-ship team, and they've gotten better and better. In fact, I actually told John Reppinger, who flies number two for them on a normal basis, I told him today out at Gary at the media day that when I saw them last week up north in Milwaukee, I thought it was the best they'd ever done. They have just gotten so precise, and they're actually very militaristic in their precision and in their training and in the way they handle their briefings and stuff like that. I just love flying. And of course, the T-34 Mentor, great historic training airplanes, not a big loud airplane, but with six of them, they have this choreography in the sky, and it's really great.
And of course, we mentioned before, Sean Tucker, what a guy he is.
He is a great guy, and Sean and I were chatting some today. He's got such a big personality that just reaches out of the cockpit. Of course, he always, during part of his routine, he goes live in the cockpit and talks to the crowd, and it's just so exciting. He makes it sound, he takes the excitement that an actor would do, and the thing is it's real. And I heard him talking, doing some interviews about the excitement that he wants to bring to the crowd, and especially to the kids, and talks about dreaming big dreams, and I tell you, he's just awesome, and we're really proud to have him back here so many years in a row.
To have the talent that he has and a lot of the people that are involved in the Air and Water Show, Herb, it's got to be part of your DNA, doesn't it? I mean, to be able to fly this, you can learn it, but you don't really learn it. It's got to be part of you.
It's part of you, and it's actually aviation. I say on a routine basis that people who fly airplanes for a living, and these guys in the military that work, stay career-wise and fly so long, they didn't just decide. You don't go to college and say, you know, I think, well, let's see, I'm going to be a stockbroker, I'm going to be a pilot. Which am I going to do? People who fly airplanes fly because they have to, because it's in them. And once again this year, and his name is J.B. Hoff. He's John Hoff is a longtime lawyer here in the Chicago area. His son is going to fly in the F-16 formation on Sunday. And he is a repeated case where there's some young person in the show who, back when he was 5 years old, his dad first brought him down here, and he saw those airplanes and said, Dad, I want to fly military airplanes. I want to fly those. And so now he's flying the F-16, and he's also got a job in the airline industry. And it's in you. You're right. It's in your DNA, and you almost don't have a choice.
You know, you have been with United Airlines many years, one of the senior pilots, of course, as I said in the introduction.
Right.
You ever get the feeling that maybe you'd jump into one of these Blue Angels and try that out again?
You know, somebody asked me this morning about riding with the performers, and I said, you know, I've turned down several opportunities to fly with different acts. I said, the only one I wouldn't turn down is if I got a chance to go ride with the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, one of the jet teams. I said, that would really be exciting. And ironically, my wife, who's ex-military, has ridden in an F-15.
Really?
Of course, I haven't. She was a boom operator. She got it. I think they were in Iceland or somewhere, and she got a chance to go on a mission in the back seat of an F-15 two-seater, and she just, you know, she couldn't say enough about it. Of course, the only fast airplane I've ever flown is a T-38 when I was in pilot training. We're going to have those here again this year.
And, of course, Chuck Aaron in the Red Bull helicopter. That's relatively new over the last few years, and that's something different for people to see.
I was told today that Chuck's not going to be here.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, and
that's
I don't bad. Know what happened, and I don't know. That might be that he was just late, but I know his helicopter was not here at Gary, and somebody said, no, Chuck's not flying. So I don't know if that's bad information, and it wasn't somebody official, but the guy said, no, I don't think Chuck's coming. So I don't know what the deal is. But you're right. He you know, for the people who saw him last year, last couple of years, he's absolutely fascinating. I can't believe that he does the things that he does. And if he does not make it, it'll be a real pity because he really has developed a following. And isn't it funny how with the crowd we have, people pick out their acts
oh,
that
sure.
they come to see.
Sure, sure, yeah. sure. And besides the air show, of course, it's the air and water show. And there are going to be some extreme sports, water sports, of course, is going to kick off the show.
And the thing that excites me about the water show portion is that the United States Coast Guard and their part, and of course the fire department does it too, but as I mentioned back in 1959, you're well aware there were only two acts that that weren't on the water, and that was the Coast Guard helicopter and the parachute team from the United States Army. Other than that, everything was a water act, and these guys, the Coast Guard and the fire department, they do a similar routine. I'm just so appreciative, and some people say, well, you know, that's not a really exciting act. Well, as far as minute-by-minute exciting, maybe not, but when you think what they're doing and that they actually, on much more often than we want to think, sometimes almost on a daily basis, put their lives at risk to save somebody out there on the lake, this wonderful, beautiful lake that we get to enjoy, they protect us out there. And so, you know, it's nice to have the Coast Guard out there and showing what they can do down on the water with their jumper getting in there and showing that simulated air-sea rescue. So
amen to that. Amen to that, yeah. Herb. From simple beginnings as part of a Family Day celebration in 1959, the show has grown to the oldest and largest free admission air and water exhibition in the United States. With audience members reaching nearly 2.5 million annually, it is one of the largest spectator events in the world. The 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, presented by Shell Oil Products in the city of Chicago, returns to the lakefront with headliners, U.S. Navy Blue Angels, U.S. Army Parachute Team Golden Knights, and the U.S. Navy Leapfrogs. The show will run August 18th and 19th along the lakefront from Fullerton to Oak Street, with North Avenue Beach as the focal point from 10 to 3 daily. I'm going to give a phone number for people who'd like some information. Herb, 312-744-3316 on the line with us right now. In his 25th year as the voice of the 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, our good pal Herb Hunter. Herbie, always a pleasure, and certainly this weekend is going to be terrific, and looking forward to seeing you for a little lunch next week.
I'll be there, and thank you so much. It's such an honor to represent the city and the show on your program, so thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Herb.
All right,
take care, my pal. Herb Hunter. He and I have been friends for many years, and it's a tradition to have him on. Talk about the Air and Water Show, his 25th year, and the 54th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, Saturday, August 18th and Sunday, August 19th. Again, for information, 312-744-3316. We thank Mary May, of course, for always setting us up from the mayor's office. And it'll be a great weekend. Great weekend to be with 2.5 million of your closest friends. But Herb does a terrific job. We're going to get back to the Buckinghams and their collection of CD. Don't You Care. We'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show. My baby,
said that you'd believe me, then why'd you ever leave me? I'm standing here all alone, without a girl of my own. Can't you see you're hurting me? Don't you care?
The Buckinghams, Don't You Care, we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. The mission of each knight, his duty, nay, his privilege, is to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave near not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. Light Opera Works presents Man of La Mancha through August 26th. In this 1965 musical, Don Quixote and his faithful servant Sancho Panza go on their thrilling ride to battle evil, rescue maidens, and right all wrongs. The score includes The Impossible Dream, Dulcinea, and I, Don Quixote. The original production ran 2,329 performances and won Tony Awards for its composer, lyricist, director, designer, and star, Richard Kiley. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star, having been seen on the stages of the Marriott, Chicago Shakespeare, First Folio, Candlelight, and Drury Lane Theaters. Jim has just completed and received rave reviews for his performance in the Goodman Theater revival of The Iceman Cometh. Choreographer, multiple Jefferson Award winner, and one of the most distinguished actors in the world of Chicago theater, now starring in the iconic role of Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha at Light Opera Works in the Kahn Auditorium in Evanston through August 26th, Mr. Jim Harms. Jim, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thanks for that generous introduction.
Well, very well deserved, and thank you for the great opportunity to see one of the great roles, Man of La Mancha. It's got to be fun doing it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, this is a show that I always hoped that I would get to do someday, and in about the last 3 years, about 3 years ago, I did it for the first time, and it was well worth the wait. And it was everything I'd hoped it would be, and in some ways I felt like I'd spent my whole career preparing to meet this part. You know, it's just such a rich, rewarding part.
Seeing as much theater as I see, I can't think of any actor in Chicago, and this is not faint praise here, that plays this role or could play this role as well as Jim Harms playing Don Quixote.
Well, thank you. It fits me in many ways, and primarily, I suppose, people would say, well, you have the physicality for the role, because Don Quixote is generally tall and lanky, you know? And that's me.
The only other role that I could see a plane would be Fagin and Oliver, so I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but...
Well, that is going to happen.
I know, I'm just kidding. I know. You had mentioned that. That's your next role, of course.
Funny you should mention it.
Of a late afterward. Of course, for our listeners, maybe I'll let you kind of, I can't believe they wouldn't know the story. I'd give a little overview. Of course, in the late 1600s, Cervantes, the tax collector, forecloses on a monastery. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, yes, and he gets in trouble with the Inquisition because of it, and is thrown into prison. And with a lot of cutthroats and murderers and thieves. And with him, he has the manuscript, the only copy of Don Quixote, which he has been writing and hopes to get published. And the prisoners go through his personal items in his trunk. They pull out this script, and they're going to burn it because it's just paper. They think it's worthless. And he begs them not to take it from him and destroy it. And they put him on trial, and he says, well, I'm going to present my defense in the form of a play, because he's an actor and a playwright. and they kind of grumble at that, but they want to be entertained. They have nothing else to do. So he tells them the story then of his night, his crazy night that he's created. And they fall under the spell of his charm and all of these fantastical tales. And they are, I always think that this musical is about the power of the transformation of art. How the power of art to transform people. And these prisoners are completely changed by the time they finish the story at the end of the play.
And of course, from one of the great novels of all time, one of the quintessential novels written by Cervantes.
Yes.
And of course, one of the great musicals on Broadway back in the 60s. Lyrics by Joe Darian, as I mentioned earlier. Of course, I was reciting The Impossible Dream. When you listen to the song and when you look at the lyrics, it's timeless, Jim. And I would imagine every evening that you have the opportunity to see it, it has to do something to you because it transforms the audience.
It does. It's just so rewarding to live in the skin of Cervantes, who was a remarkable person and achieved a great deal, but also suffered a great deal in his life. He was enslaved for 5 years. He tried to escape about 4 times. People who tried to help him escape were tortured to death right in front of him, his dearest friends. And he turned all of this pain into this comic novel. But without that pain, he would not have been able to achieve this, I don't think.
When you're preparing for a role like this, of course, so many great actors and actresses have been involved in The Man of La Mancha. Of course, Richard Kiley comes to mind. Do you look at something that he's done and kind of see what he does, say, well, I'm going to tweak it, I'm going to try something different, or do you just make this right from the beginning and lay your foundation yourself?
Well, I think we all borrow from each other. The torch gets passed on from generation to generation, and you always hope that you will find something fresh out of your own experience to bring to a role. And I feel like this is the fourth time I've actually done the part, and I think that every time I have learned something new along the way, either about through my own life or through research, and so it can keep it fresh for me and a fresh approach for a long time. I saw Kiley do it in a revival with Joan Diener, and of course he was amazing. But I also saw The Great Lee Pelty in a local production
back in
the 70s. And the first person I ever saw was the great actor Jose Ferrer.
Really, yeah.
Did one of the touring companies and played Chicago. And then I later saw John Raitt do it in Stock Company at Melody Shop Theater in Milwaukee.
Sure.
And they were all unique and all wonderful, you know. So
I'm going to embarrass you a little bit here, but it's my show, so I can do that. So I'm going to read from one of our town's reviewers. She said, Jim Harms is superb. So memorable for his recent turn as Jimmy Tomorrow, the hopelessly alcoholic journalist in the Goodman Theater revival of The Iceman Cometh, seems born to play the title role of Don Quixote and has done so in several productions over the years. Tall, wiry, and graceful, with terrific dramatic instincts and a powerhouse voice, Harms' performance is nuanced, heroic, and full of poetry, and he nails each of his big numbers, from the title song to Dulcinea and The Impossible Dream. That's high praise, Jim.
Yes, yes. You know, it's when the critics pan you, you know, it can be devastating. When they praise you, then you think, oh my gosh, now people are going to expect something so amazing that I'll never be able to live up to their expectations. So it's a double-edged sword, but it's nice to hear once in a while, for sure.
You know, we were talking yesterday, and the only complaint I have with light opera works is you should play longer. It should be going on for another couple of weeks so people can come out and see you.
Yeah, I'd certainly be willing. I know they're cautious, and this is the kind of schedule they've been doing for years, and I guess it works for them. And their ideas to try to pack them in while they can rather than spread it out and have small houses.
Sure, sure. Well, how was it working with Nathan Lane and Brian Dennehy at Goodman with the Iceman Cometh?
Yes, what a pleasure that was. I mean, two powerhouse actors and both great gentlemen of the theater and terrific colleagues, terrific people just to know as well as to work with. Really inspiring work, and just values, you know, just terrific artists.
Of course, the next role, as we talked, you're going to be playing as Fagin and Oliver with Lighthopper Works. Is there any roles or roles that you have not played that you'd really like to?
Well, I have not done Fagin before. I've never done Oliver before, so I'm really looking forward to that. Some new challenge there, and it's a great part too, and I'm already doing some reading about Fagin and Dickens, and I've already looked at several versions of everybody from Robert Lindsay to Alec Guinness. You know, has done the part,
right.
And they're all so different. So I'm really looking forward to really getting my teeth into that. And that's a terrific show, too, you know, and it'll be wonderful during December.
Another timeless show.
It's a family show.
Sure, right. Man of La Mancha is a musical that brilliantly walks the line between opera and Broadway, and this makes the enduringly popular 1965 show with its multifaceted score by Mitch Leigh and Joe Darian, its book by Dale Wasserman, inspired by the Cervantes classic Don Quixote, ideal material for light opera works. Light Opera Works presents Man of La Mancha through August 26th, and on the line with us right now is the Man of La Mancha, Mr. Jim Harms. Jim, I'm going to give a phone number for the Light Opera Works if people would like tickets, 847-920-5360. Thanks for taking a little time. I know you're a busy guy, of course, and maybe we'll look forward to chatting with you as Fagin and Oliver here in a couple months, but certainly I would say from me and all our listeners, of course, all your fans, thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us.
Oh, Kevin, it's my pleasure, and thank you for giving me this chance to talk with you and to your audience. And I hope they will all come out and see us.
Thank you, my pal.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Jim Harms from The Man of La Mancha. Anybody that should be in that role, of course, Jim Harms. What a talented man. And now starring in the iconic role of Don Quixote and Man of La Mancha at Light Opera Works in the Kahn Auditorium in Edmonton through August 26. Again, for information, 847-920-5360. One of the most distinguished actors in Chicago theater, Mr. Jim Harms, and certainly a pleasure to have him on the show and chat a little bit. And his next role will be another one, Fagin, in Oliver up at Light Opera Works. Well, we're going to get back to the Buckinghams before we talk to Carol Giammarisi and play one of my favorite songs, Susan. And we will be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Susan, looks like I'm losing. I'm losing my mind. I'm wasting my time. Susan, do you have to be confusing? I ask myself why. Don't say goodbye. No other girl could ever take the place of you. Though you hurt me, you know I'll always be thinking of you. Girl, I love you.
Thank you.
Get grooving to the best of the 1960s and 70s with a Happy Together tour at Aurora's Paramount Theater August 24th. Singing the grooviest classic rock and pop tunes from the 60s and 70s, the Happy Together tour will rock the stage on Friday, August 24th at 8 p.m. at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. The Happy Together tour, including performances by The Turtles featuring Flo and Eddie, The Buckinghams, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, The Grassroots, and Mickey Dolenz, brings together musicians and bands that were driving forces in the 60s and 70s, amassing gold albums, platinum albums, number one singles, and touring the world while playing sold-out shows. And on the line with us right now is an original member of what Billboard magazine described as the most listened-to band in America, The Buckinghams, lead singer, award-winning vocalist, musician, a nationally recognized entertainment artist whose music and talent has spanned the generations. Now one of the stars of the Happy Together tour performing August 24th at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, 23 East Galena Boulevard at 8 p.m., Mr. Carl Giamarisi. Carl, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Yes, very good. How are you?
Well, it's great to have you. Well, it's great to have you, and certainly listening to your music after all these years, and certainly enjoying it. We're showcasing the CD Mercy, Mercy, Mercy collection. It's great to have you on, Carl.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be on the show, and it's, you know, the tour has been just fabulous, but it's always special for us to come into the Chicagoland area and do a show because, you know, we're Chicago guys. That's where we started. We got our start, so it's, and of course, we were at the Paramount Theater last year and had a great time, a great show, so we're looking forward to it.
You know, it's fun to watch, and I enjoy this a lot, Carl, maybe you do too, is when you watch PBS and you see all the iconic rock and rollers, whether it's the British Beat or whatever, the revivals, you watch the old music, and geez, it just brings back a lot of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got so many memories now. I mean, I'm going back over 40 years. You know, there's a lot to think about and a lot to remember. You know, if somebody told me back in 1967 when we were making all the hits and that I'd still be doing this all these years later, I would have probably thought they were crazy, you know, but here we are.
You know, it was a great time. The New Colony Six, the Ides of March, because we were talking about Jimmy Peterick. We've had him on the show chatting a little bit. Yeah. Shadows of Night, the Crying Shames. And I remember I was my youngest guy was playing in a baseball league out in Hinsdale. And one of the coaches had, you know, he was a little physically challenged. And we got to talking. And it turns out he was J.C. Hook from the Crying Shames. I used to listen to his music, of course.
Yeah.
And it was just...
You know, yeah, I see that guy every so wide. But we've done some shows with the Crying Shames through the years. They mostly stick around Chicago. They don't get out nationally like we do that much, but I see him every so often, and I got to tell you something, he is a hell of a golfer.
Is that right?
You know, I mean, I know he's physically challenged, but you'd never know it on the golf course. He's something. You know,
a great group of people, and of course, your great hits, Kind of a Drag, number one hit for weeks on the Billboard charts, Don't You Care, which is a great song, Mercy, 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 Hey Baby, they're playing our song, Susan. Who's Susan, Carl? Tell me who Susan was.
Oh, there's a real Susan out there.
Okay.
You know? The person who wrote the song, Jim Holvey and Gary Weisbeer, he also wrote Kind of a Drag, Don't You Care, mm-hmm. Maybe they're playing our song. He had a girlfriend, her name was Susan, and she was actually a Playboy bunny at one time, you know. But she broke up with him, and they broke up, so he wrote the song about her.
And the legacy lives on.
Yeah, and thank God she broke up, or they broke up, because it gave us a great song.
You know, you've appeared in so many different places around the world, around the United States. You were on the Ed Sullivan Show, Jerry Lewis, Joey Bishop, American Bandstand, and you played in the White House.
We played two inaugurations. We played for President Bush and for Obama. You know, we performed at one of the balls, you know. You know, there's several of them going on, and we were invited to perform for one of them, and it's very exciting because, you know, the president makes the rounds and he stops in at the different balls, and we were at the agricultural ball actually, and we were invited. Our connection to that was a good friend of ours, Terry Duffy, who's the chairman of the board and at the Mercantile Exchange.
Sure, know Terry Duffy very well. Very old family friend of ours.
Yeah, well, Terry's a great, great guy, and we've played for his parties at his mm-hmm. house, birthday parties, fundraisers, and you know we've gotten to know him, and he's become a great friend, and him and his wife are wonderful people. They have a wonderful family. And so anyway, thanks to him, we had the opportunity to play at those balls, both of them. And it was a great experience.
You know, after doing this for so many years, 40-plus years, of course, you don't show your age at all.
thank you.
How do you get the, how do you maintain the enthusiasm? Is it what you get from the audience? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, I'd say that that's you know, 90% of it, really, is, you know, for one thing, I really still enjoy performing and playing and being creative, and, you know, we still come up with new things for the show, and believe it or not, we still record. You know, we've had a few different albums out. You know, we had Reaching Back, which was a collection of new songs that I recorded with the band that I wrote that were sort of a throwback to our sound from the 60s, but with some new songs. And we've done a few live recordings and a DVD for the live show. And so that, you know, so that still keeps you, you know, the juices are still, you know, still flowing there with wanting to be creative and do things. And, you know, you mentioned Jim Peterik. If you talk to him, he can tell you exactly what I'm talking about, because that guy is like...
He's still a rock and roller.
He's still a rock and roller.
He's still 18 years old.
Yeah. But like I said, the biggest part of it is the audience and their enthusiasm still. I mean, people ask me, how could you sing kind of a drag, you know, 10,000 times over and over again? Well, it's because you're doing it for an audience that wants to hear it, and the enthusiasm that they show and they give you and the feedback that you get from them, just it renews it for you. It's like doing it brand new, all, you know, every time you perform the songs, you know. So it keeps it fresh, and you know, we're just having such a great time on this Happy Together tour. Also, this is our third year, you know, as part of the tour, and it just seems to grow legs. It gets bigger every year, and you know, I think we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 dates before the year's over. And we've been all over the country with it. And you know, it's the type of tour that the type of venues we're playing are just sensational. And, well, the Paramount is one, but we've
sure.
played a lot of outdoor amphitheaters and play to a lot of big casino rooms and, you know, playing to 5,000-7,000 people. And it's something we can do collectively as, you know, all the groups, you know, between us, we might have 40 hits. And you know, it's the combination of all of us together that will allow us to perform and bring us into these big venues like that. So it's just, and then, you know, once again, our audience has been so supportive and enthusiastic about the tour. And they've come out, and just about every show we've done has been sold out. So, gosh, we owe it all to them.
Well, we remember what we were doing, or remember who we were with, or remember where we were going at that time when we, you know, associate these songs with so many great memories, and I think that we want to hang on to those.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. You know, one of my favorite, I always say this, one of my favorite things after we do a Buckingham show with our band, you know, and we do autographs afterwards, is to hear the fans to come up to you and say, you know, when you recorded Don't You Care, I Just Met My Girlfriend, or I just, yeah. you know, and we just got together, or this happened in my life, or whatever, you know, and just to know that you're part of the fabric of their lives,
sure.
so to speak, you know, it's just a very, because I do the same thing, you know, I mean, I'll hear a song come on the radio, and it'll, an old tune, and it'll just remind me of something I was doing, or something that was going on in that period of my life. So it's a great thing, you know, to be a part of people's lives like that, you know.
Well, that's what they say. Remember when I met my girl for the first time? Now we have 7 grandchildren.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't too many years ago when you know, somebody come up to you after a show and, you know, my parent, you know, now it's my parent or my grandparents even. It was my parents told me all about you guys, or my parents are big fans, you know, now it's my grandparents or, you know. What are you going to do?
We're still kicking. That's the important thing.
That's right. We still are. Exactly.
From Chicago's Holiday Ballroom to playing as the house band in WGN-TV's all-time hits in 1966 to performing in America's living room on The Ed Sullivan Show across the United States and in the White House, the Buckinghams have stayed true to their Chicago roots. Their most memorable hit, Kind of a Drag, would reach the pinnacle of chart success, yet mark just one of the many popular songs from the band, including Mercy, 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 Don't You Care, Susan, and Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song. Their success in 1967 will lead them to be named the most listened-to band in America by Billboard magazine. Singing the grooviest classic rock and pop tunes from the 60s and 70s, the Happy Together Tour will rock the stage on Friday, August 24th at 8 at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. With Flo and Eddie and the Turtles, the Buckinghams, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, the Grassroots, and Mickey Dolenz. For information, 630-896-6666. And on the line with us right now is Carl G. Morisi, one of the founding members with, of course, the iconic group.
Yeah, that all sounds so nice.
The Buckinghams is the truth. Carl, I appreciate you taking a little time. I'm hoping to chat with either Mickey Dolenz or Flo and Eddie next week about the show. But anytime you need to get the word out or next place you're performing, let's keep on each other's radar, and we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, please. I hope you can find the time to come out and join us at the Paramount.
Well, we look forward to it. And heck, we're almost neighbors there, so that's the truth, right?
Yeah. We're, I think, let's see, I'm remembering now what's going on. We start that fourth leg of the tour in Louisville, Kentucky on the 23rd, and then I fly back to Chicago to do the Paramount Theater. So that's the second show of this leg. Looking forward to it. I mean, last year it was we had a great audience there. It was sold out, and I expect the same thing this year. And it's one of those great old theaters, you know.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. A beautiful place.
You know, I love those. You know, like I said, we've been playing all different kinds of venues, from outdoor amphitheaters to casinos. But I think my favorite is still the old theaters. You know, there's something special about that.
Well, we will look forward to seeing you out there, my pal. Continued success and safe travels.
Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you there, and I look forward to seeing everybody.
Thank you, Carl.
Great. Take care.
Carl Giammarisi from the Buckinghams. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Herbie Hunter. The 25th year is the voice of the 54th annual Chicago Air and Water Show, August 18th and 19th, down on the lakefront. What a great weekend it'll be. Jimmy Harms, playing the iconic role of Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha at Light Opera Works in the Conn Auditorium, Evanston. For information, 847-920-5360. Fun talking with Carl G. Morisi, one of the founders of the Buckinghams, and the Happy Together Tour, performing August 24th at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, 23 East Galena Boulevard, at 8 o'clock out in Aurora. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
How do you lose yourself to someone and never lose your way? How do you not run out of new things to say? And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year,